The Marketing Rules podcast is sponsored by TA Tech. TA Tech is the global membership organization for talent technology companies and job boards. With over 350 members worldwide, our in-person events are essential for founders, CEOs, and senior executives from the world's leading hiring technology platforms. Please join us on the 4th to the 6th of December for TA Tech Europe and the EMEA Job Board Forum, held in Marble Arch, London. Remember, the National Online Recruiter Awards are also held on the evening of the 6th of December in the same venue. You can book your tickets at tatech.org and norauk.com.
What great ideas are so close within your grasp? Seeing other points of view, anticipating change, considering multiple possible turnouts, acknowledging uncertainty, searching for compromise. We're going to talk about how to get over those limiters of innovation so that you can extract better thinking from yourself and your team. So let's talk about how to win the future.
Welcome to the Marketing Rules podcast from Thinking Circles with me, your host, James Whitelock. AI has been the hot topic of conversation for the last 2 years, and you can't move online without reading posts and articles on how it's going to affect the labour market and the recruiting space. But how is it going to affect recruitment marketing? Joining me this week is Stanislav Vasevich, previously of Smart Recruiters and now with Scotty AI. Stan is now at the cutting edge of AI and talent attraction and takes me on a journey of the future of AI in recruitment and recruitment marketing. Welcome back, everybody, to the Marketing Rules podcast. It's my absolute pleasure to have Stanislav Vasevich joining me today. Stan, we've kind of been off and on trying to get this kind of sorted, but finally I've kind of managed to pin you down. You're a difficult man to pin down. There's a lot going on with you at the minute, I know, with kind of home moves and things like that. But for people who kind of who are tuning in, people who might not have known of your kind of previous work, Stan, maybe you can give us a little bit about your background and what you do now.
Sure. And first of all, real pleasure to be here, James. I listen to many of your podcasts and I've enjoyed every one of them. So I fell into recruitment like so many of us 17 years ago. I've always resided on what's called the dark side, the vendor side. Services first, staffing agency, RPO. And then that business started moving into tech. And I rapidly wanted to go alongside with it because I saw that most of the people that we were putting into jobs were being replaced by robots. And the entire processes that we derived any business value or margins from were being replaced by algorithms. And I wanted to be part of that. There's a Dutch CEO that talks about elevators going up, standing still, or going down. No matter how hard you work, you need to be in an elevator that is going up. And I thought that robots and algorithms was one of those. So predominantly the second half of my career, I've been dabbling in that. SaaS businesses that deliver some sort of recruitment service across programmatic advertising. That was my the most interesting stints. And then later on, I worked for a large ATS vendor. And right now, I'm running my own consulting business, helping loads of smaller and bigger, mainly technology vendors, scale internationally.
It's a pretty kind of broad spectrum of kind of a background. And I love the way you describe kind of falling into recruitment. I think everybody just falls into recruitment. It's one of those kind of occupations, whether you're a recruiter, whether you're a vendor, that most people just kind of, I don't think anyone ever really decides that they're going to be working in recruitment. They just happen to be in it. And then almost like the mafia, once you're in, you can't get out, basically. You know, it's one of those kind of things. Yeah. That's how I've always described it. But today we're going to tap into your brain and kind of talk about some of the kind of topics you've already just mentioned. And it's something we've not actually tackled a huge amount on the podcast, and it's AI. I'll be honest, I've kind of steered cleared a little bit away from it because it seemed like everybody else was talking about AI. Until I found the right person to talk to me about AI. So that was what that's what I've kind of been waiting for, Stan. And within the recruitment and the talent acquisition space, I always feel that at the minute, there is a certain amount of skepticism around kind of artificial intelligence. Is the fact that it is seen, it's kind of promoted as a bit of a kind of panacea, that it's going to be the way things are going to be. There's no way of getting around it, but probably it's not quite there yet. So talk to me around, you know, why we should be considering this in the first place over kind of the more manual kind of way of working, which is the safe and kind of comfortable place to be, I guess, to a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, first of all, that one's easy. I'll get to why, but the safe and comfortable way just offers a terrible, biased, ineffective candidate experience, leading to terrible hires, leading to broken families, jobs being lost, companies underperforming. You know, we need to change this. I don't think anyone disagrees. Like, go to any event, listen to any podcast. You know, everyone, whether you've been a candidate or you're hiring, knows that there is a lot of room for improvement. And you know, I'm a guy that's always been at the front of innovation, you know, the forefront of the bell curve, telling people that bots are coming. And now I've changed my narrative to telling them that the bots are here. Right? The bots are here, and they are offering a far more effective, far more efficient experience on both sides of the equation. Like, I know for sure that adoption is going to happen, not just on the employer side, because you know the bots are vastly more productive and efficient. Here's a prediction: candidates won't just volunteer to work with these bots, they will demand to be able to work with a bot instead of a human, in very similar fashion as you, as a consumer, don't want to speak to, you know, travel agents anymore when booking your holiday. And I can give 1,000 more examples. Mm-hmm. And my other bigger prediction that I've stated before, and I'll state again, is that this will mean that a specific function, the function of a recruiter, will disappear from our industry. Like large language models, generative AI, if I said this 9 months ago, people wouldn't really be able to paint a picture. But thank God for ChatGPT and that massive technological inflection point, right? That at least allows people to imagine what can happen. And it's fairly easy to imagine now how that technology is to the recruiter. And I'm talking about all types of recruiters, sourcers, interviewers, coordinators, not just the top of the funnel stuff, and I'll elaborate on that as well, but also the very highly technical specialist stuff. That technology is to these individuals what electricity was to the lamplighter. And I don't remember, James, you're in Britain, right? So I did some research on this, and for those who don't know, lamplighters were those folks that used to light up street lanterns, you know, and then you know, shut them down again, turn them off in the morning. They still exist. It's a handful of them, symbolically, in London, right? And there will likely be some symbolic recruiters, and there will be some highly connected individuals, right? I wouldn't necessarily call them recruiters anymore, but there will be some of those folks, you know, will disappear.
So Stan, do you think that are you saying that the recruiter as we know it won't exist there won't be a human part to play in that process?
Yes,
because usually the consensus is that the recruiter will probably play the bit in the middle where they're more kind of face-to-face, person-to-person, more empathetic kind of
bots are tremendously more empathetic than the humans already, right? They understand humans way better. They can speak more languages. They can change their tone of voice. They can change their narrative to the person's requirements. That's this assumption that people think that humans are more empathetic or like speaking to humans. I have data on a voice technology called Scotty Technologies. This technology is 500,000 times more productive than a recruiter by bandwidth, because it can call or be called by 500,000 people at the same time. Well, a human can only handle one person, right? But also in 140 languages. But when it interviews a person, like imagine this, you are a manager level role at a software company, and you're applying somewhere. And one of these top of the funnel recruiters, just out of uni, ask you one of these funny questions like, well, can you tell me a little bit about your career? You can do that, but it's essentially a waste of time. This person cannot put themselves in your shoes or have the faintest understanding what it's like to be, you know, a mid-level 40-year-old with 25 experience running development teams at companies, Fortune 500 companies with thousands of developers and different types of stakeholders and roles in it, right? It's a check-in-the-box type of function, and that's one of the easiest to replace. But the second point is the bot, a ChatGPT, don't forget that this bot can actually code at the very senior level, understands law at the very senior level, sales, marketing, data, you name it, it gets it at a far more senior level than humans. So what I'm predicting is that, yes, candidates will remain, hiring managers will remain. I'm saying that that middleman or woman, I'm saying that that will disappear and be replaced by something far more capable, far less biased, that doesn't sleep, hasn't just gone through a divorce, doesn't go to the toilet, isn't hungry, isn't emotional at all. Performance isn't based on how this thing is feeling, because it doesn't feel, it mimics feeling and emotions at a level that's far more effective to make good hires. And the other thing I'm saying is this technology is here. I used to say it's coming. Now I'm saying it's actually here. The only thing holding it back from large scale inflection on the adoption side is human, you know, human levels of adoption. But most people listening to this, if they have children that are, you know, anywhere above primary school, they already using generative AI on a daily basis at their schools. So I'm also predicting that they will use it to get jobs. Ultimately, we'll go to a point where bots are doing most of the interviewing, selection, matching, all of that stuff. And on the other side, candidates are represented by bots. And in between, we will need incredibly strong verifications. And that's why I applaud this guy called Richard Collins. You might know him. I'm not sure if he's been on the show. If he hasn't, please invite him for founding CV Wallet, which is a Web 3.0 blockchain-based solution where people can store their performance data, their CVs, their career experience in a verified, validated fashion. Because if bots take over, you know, that the whole middle process, you need solutions like that to make sure that all data from both sides is actually verified and accurate.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit more about this this idea that candidates will be represented by bots, because I think that that's even new to me, right? I know the kind of on the hiring side, on the recruiter side, I get how that works. But a kind of, you know, is this a bot as your kind of like online avatar representing you to wherever you want to kind of send a, you know, apply? How does that work?
Forget about the human for a second, because we need to talk more about people. Let's elaborate on this a bit later, because I'll answer your question.
Sure.
But you forget about building AI or building bots for the status quo. That's the other issue with the industry and what's keeping us from moving faster to a place where we have better candidate NPS, better matches, better performing companies, all of that good stuff, right? I'm not saying this will be bad. People often associate jobs disappearing, the recruiter function disappearing, something bad. No, it'll be way better for hiring outcomes, for business outcomes, and for personal desires of people looking for jobs, right? It'll be way, way better. So stick a pin in building for the status quo or building for the new paradigm. Super important to talk about, and I'll forget it if you don't remind me. That can be represented by a bot.
Yeah.
There are countless free solutions on the market right now, James. You just have to Google them, right? Bots writing your CV, bots applying to thousands of companies at the same time for you in a tailored manner, tailored to the hiring manager that they find on LinkedIn, not even you, tailored to the hiring team that they assume will be part of it, right? This includes visuals, this includes voice notes, this includes anything written. You need to do some kind of test in the middle. It creates it for you. And I don't think it's a bad thing. Like if I'm hiring and someone hasn't used AI in the hiring process to join my team, I likely don't want to hire that person, because I know for sure that the person that has used it effectively will likely be tremendously more productive than the person that hasn't. And that's another huge paradigm shift that we need to go to and accept. Using technology to your advantage isn't a bad thing for job seekers or employers. No, it will actually dramatically improve experience and performance on both sides of the equation.
Shazami is the latest and best enterprise-grade recruitment website technology globally, and is fully integrated into your ATS. There are no lock-in contracts, as we believe constantly high service levels and cutting-edge, easy-to-use technology should make you never want to leave. Recruitment website success equals Shazami. Visit shazami.com for more information. So let's kind of go back to where you put the pin then, and this is building for the future. Yeah, no, so you asked me to remind you about that. So let's talk about that. Cool.
So building for the status quo. Let me take an example of a company which I love, MetaView. And they got a broader category, right? I'm not associated with them. So let me shout out Honet, Bright Hire, love them too, and the new one, Hire Guide. All super interesting interview intelligence companies, right? Freaking love it. In sales, we had revenue intelligence for ages with Gong.io becoming a unicorn very quickly. And Chorus, their biggest competitor, also taking a big market share. But there's more of them, right? Mm-hmm. So we, thank God, as the recruitment industry always does, a few years later, launched this in our segment. So structured interviews and AI being able to surface the key points out of the interview by transcribing, recording, summarizing, sending messages to hiring managers. All this stuff is great. I freaking love it. But it still assumes there's a human in the process that needs all of this stuff, right? So it's built for the status quo. It's built for the human, when actually the best thing that we can all do as technology vendors, whether we're an applicant tracking system acting like a system records to connect all of these different technologies. I jumped on an hour-long brain food show to share my vision there. I think that's how you found me. But then there's also all these different point solutions, right? So please, and this is the call out. Please, guys, CTOs, entrepreneurs, stop building for the status quo. Start building for something with two things in mind, really, two things. Three, business outcomes derived from hiring outcomes and amazing candidate experience, right? With people that have their career journeys pre-mapped out, you know, based on skills, based on their soft desires, their capabilities. All of this sort of stuff is present technologically. We just have to apply it. Where I see huge potential is taking a company like this Scotty Technologies that I talked about before,
yeah,
and infusing all the interview data and all the interview questions to it. Because now Scotty can have an incredibly highly technical interview, hiring a principal engineer for CERN, if you will, on the first conversation. Now a potential principal engineer can go to the CERN career website, see that there's a job opening, and instead of applying, jumping through a bunch of hoops, waiting to hear back or not, the bot can be installed on the freaking career website. Think about this, James. And it can say, hey, talk to us now. The engineer clicks on talk to CERN, and Scotty says, hey, James, I'm Scotty. Don't get scared. I'm a bot, but I know all about this job and all about this company at the technical level that you studied for and you know, but also at the metaphysical level. You know, I know about the culture and the team, the people. So how do you want to approach this? You probably didn't expect to be interviewed right now. So if you don't want to do that, then you know I can ask you some simple knockout questions so you know whether you are eligible or not at all, and then you can prepare for an interview. I can send you all the things you need to prepare to be ready for it. Or we can interview right now, whatever the heck you want. I mean, I'm available, and you know I can put you through to a hiring manager instantly, which Scotty can already do. This is top-notch candidate experience, and the tech is available, James, right now to do this with. It's here. No one does it yet. But it's here right now. We need to start doing it. We'll have a far, far better recruitment industry for it if we do.
Okay, so let's talk around things like kind of and cost and adoption of this, right? Because it feels to me that all this can be kind of put in place, right? You, as you said, this stuff all exists now, right? There's nothing stopping anyone from doing it. But there must be costs involved, right? You know, this is pretty cutting edge technology, some of this kind of stuff. So it's only going to be available to the likes of CERN and the likes of bigger businesses.
What's happening
with some of these smaller businesses? No, this is the question.
Far lower cost. The average cost of a human conversation, whether you've got an RPO in the Philippines or in Warsaw, compared to San Francisco, is between $5 and $20 per completed conversation. Scotty will do that for 25 to 50 cents per completed conversation. And the other huge thing is that you can finally do away with all these BS. I'm not sure to what extent I can curse on your show.
So you can swear. You can go for it. You can swear away. It's fine.
Bullshit subscription models. You know, where this time of these SaaS companies charging you, whether you're seeing results or not, is dead, is gone. The same as these these multiples on these companies, because they're fake, they're fugazi, as he said in some movies that I like. Most of these new AIs are pay-as-you-go, based on API calls, right? So some of the companies I already mentioned are pay per completed conversation, usually with an incredibly low step-in fee to allow these companies to deliver some customer success, have some predictability. But then it's pay-as-you-go. So if you're not hiring, great, you're not paying. Oh, you are hiring, you're in a huge peak, great, you're paying peanuts compared to what you pay for a human. Not to mention that these algorithms are available 24 freaking 7. Again, like I said, they don't get tired. They don't have holidays. They don't have labor costs, right? They don't have any of the other things that come with hiring a human. Plus, they're instantly live at the highest possible level. They have no ramp time, right? You get in, except for some of the training. Look, large language models, ultimately right now, most of these companies are in a generic tone of voice, in a generic type of, and I come from the marketing and branding space as you. So here's my other prediction. Through technology, we will offer hyper-personalized experiences. Everyone outside the recruitment industry is with me when I'm saying this. It'll happen in medicine. It'll happen in marketing and sales. It will happen in property, whatever industry you're talking about. It needs to happen in recruitment as well, where you, again, through a company like a CV wallet, you will control data that you can share with companies on your terms so that they can approach you. One of the companies that already kind of does it, not in at the extent of using AI that I'm exposing right now or arguing for right now, is a company of like HackerJob, you know, where companies have a brief window to apply to excellent coders on their terms, within their tone of voice, right? They will tell you whether they want to be approached in a formal or informal manner. They will tell you whether they are suitable for this or that type of job, whether it's gig or hours or perm or whatever. Companies will have to adjust to these demands at a unprecedented scale, at a hyper-personalized one-to-one individual scale, which is impossible for humans to do, mate. But it's easy for a bot. Right? It can be an avatar with an old man's voice. It can be a young lady. It can be very witty, or it can be stern and whatever you want it to be. It can be that already right now. There is the company in the world that's doing this right now. But again, the technology is already here. And the big other difference, we talked about cost. Let me go back to that one. It's so incredibly freaking cheap to build these solutions, right? I've seen at least 40 new AI solutions pop up. And to quote Burson, I don't know how he mentioned this entire model with, you know, companies essentially. First companies had no AI, right? It was all code. It was rigid. It was exactly that. Then we had companies that had AI built in. But now in his latest interview, I think with Workday, or I don't know what it was. Again, don't pin me down on that. But Burson said that the next big companies in HR will be built on top of AI, right? Like the MetaViews, like the Scotties, you know, like these type of businesses. And the costs of that are so incredibly low, mate, that whichever company it is right now, if you're that type of entrepreneur, that type of company, that's actually what I help these companies do. You need to generate an incredible amount of awareness, incredibly fast. Then you need to get the early adopters in your court as quickly as possible, if needed, at cost. And then you need to parade these folks around the industry as ambassadors, because you need speed. You need an unfair market share. And you need unfair data. You need data about all of these different companies, all these different hiring processes. That large language model needs to be trained on that to first be able to communicate and hire in the tone of the voice and the brand of the company. But that's only the beginning. The ultimate step is that every individual in the world out of 7 billion people will be able, somewhere past birth, after maybe going to primary school, after the large language, well, the models, skills are a language, right? Hobbies are a language. Math is a language. These models will understand you through and through. And through Web 3.0, please don't hit me over the head with FTX scandals. I don't actually own any crypto because I always thought it was quite a bit of a scam. But the same thing that happened with .com, where it went up and up and up and up and it popped and crashed. And then the good companies came about. That's what's happening in 3.0. So I definitely support Web 3.0. And I'm happy the bubble popped. Now we're going to see great companies allowing us to protect our data, to own our data, to share it with potential employers that we deem adequate to potentially work for. And those companies will be up to them to deliver incredibly tailored experience. And because it's so cheap, mate, to build it, innovation's horizons are shortening so freaking quickly that there will be an inflection point. right? And it'll happen in adoption. That's what I'm talking about. And that's when you see wild-scale adoption, not just with the large enterprises. They're in a great position to try it out. But for example, I'm speaking to a bunch of RPOs about AI solutions focused on startups and SMBs. And don't count those out. I mean, if you're a startup, you get a couple of million in funding from an accelerator or angel investors, right? You're in pre-series A. And you want to compete with the likes of Google? I read somewhere that Google, at the peak of another dude who's now at Ashby, also a great company, he runs their hiring now, used to get 4.4 million applicants, right? Well, the average salary of an interviewer at Google, Google it, and check out on LinkedIn how many they have, and then you'll come to a number that will be in the hundreds of millions, right? You might have just remembered that I told you that Scotty can interview, per successful interview, between 25 cents and 50 cents. So instead of spending hundreds of millions on humans interviewing with no skills to interview these highly technical, capable people for 1.1 million, Google could interview everyone that's applying to them, which I think should be the new paradigm. That's building for the new paradigm. Interview everyone that at the highest level of the matching algorithm looks like they might be a fit for any job in your ATS, by the way, not just that one job, because again, the bots are aware of every job in the ATS, whereas the recruiter only knows the job that they're working. They only took the recruiting brief from one hiring manager. The bot is aware of all the recruitment briefs. It's likely going to be a bot, actually, because these recruitments are going away, that will get the hiring brief from the hiring manager. Because guess what? The bot actually speaks the language of the hiring manager at that highly skilled, highly technical, 20 years experience level, which recruiter will never get to. Unless they were a hiring manager, right? So you see where I'm going with this. And again, that's my other argument for why these recruitment functions will disappear. Anyway, I'm on a big rant. You need to bring me back to.
No. It's good. It's good.
For the audience, for you.
I think we've kind of we've come to the end for today, but we will definitely have you back on, Stan, because you know we could talk about this for the rest of the day. As always, if anybody wants to know more about Stan or wants to connect with him, we'll include all your details in the show notes. We'll include kind of your LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. So if anybody wants to reach out, I would highly recommend a few people reach out, as many as you can, because Stan's got a wealth of knowledge, and as we tell for the last 20 minutes, there's a lot going on in there, and he's kind of prepared to help these kind of amazing businesses out there. So Stan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Loved it. And I want to leave everyone with actually the call out, because I'm looking for you. I'm looking for the early adopters. I'm looking for the ambassadors. I know a bunch of these companies that can get you to actually manifest this vision I just shared. So hit me up and let's make it happen together. Let's improve recruitment for the better forever together. Let's go.
There you go. That's the Stan doing his own bit of promo marketing. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, you can subscribe to the Marketing Rules podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all other major podcasting platforms. I've been your host, James Whitelock, and I hope you can join me and more amazing guests next time. The Marketing Rules podcast is a Thinking Circles production.